Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah, Jesus. I'm your host, Pastor Alyssa Nervez, and this is Alyssa Nervez Ministries, and I thank God for being with you on today. I just magnify God, the true and living King, as we go to the throne of grace and prayer and lift up the true and living God, Jesus Christ on the throne. Heavenly Father, we just magnify you on today, God. We lift you up on a day, God. We thank you, Heavenly Father. We celebrate you, King Jesus. We celebrate life, health, and strength. We celebrate your people on today, Heavenly Father. We know that it's only through your spirit that we're able to move, live, and have our being, God. And we invite you into the service on a day, God. We magnify and lift you up on a day, God. We invite you into the hearts and the minds of the people on a day, God. We thank you for your glory in a mighty way, God. Oh, how I lift up the people to you on a day, God, that you would move by your spirit on their situations, Heavenly Father, that you would move amongst circumstance, that you would move amongst your people, Heavenly Father, where you would say that, hallelujah, God, that they can do all things through you that strengthens them, Heavenly Father. I pray for every situation, every financial burden, Heavenly Father, every mental stress, Heavenly Father, every sickness in the body and disease on a day, Heavenly Father. Let you be magnified, God. Oh, hallelujah, let your word be established. You know, this is the day that God has made. And you know, God said you ought to rejoice and be glad in it. Why? Because God is definitely moving by his spirit in this season, and he's doing something. You know, God sent me by to let you know on a day that there is hope in the middle of your temptation. And so we thank God for bringing a word to us on a day about the temptation. Hallelujah, Jesus. Let us go to the scripture. Hallelujah. And we're going to be going today. Thank you, Father God. We're going to 1 Corinthians. Thank you, oh, Bashaka, Son of God. Hallelujah, 1 Corinthians, as you find your way there, 1 Corinthians, the 7th chapter is where we're going on today. Hallelujah, and we're going to begin reading at the 3rd verse. Amen, and then we're going to go on a trip to Matthew. Amen, so if you can get the Corinthians and Matthew, 1 Corinthians, the 7th chapter, and Matthew, the 4th chapter. Hallelujah, Jesus. And as you find your way, hallelujah, to the scriptures, amen, I do have a book, amen, that is called 30 Days of Dreams and Visions. And in this book, God took me into the heart, amen, of the Father. Amen. What is God saying to us in this last day? Amen. How is it that we can depend and trust in God to, hallelujah, help us amongst the midst of our casualties and circumstances and losing all that we have? Amen. And you know, God did it in dreams and visions. You know, Daniel, amen, had a gifting of dreams and visions, amen. And God said in his word, if any man consider himself a prophet, let him speak by the dreams that he may have. Amen. So you've got to get the book. AlyssaNarvaez.com is where you can get that book. Amen. You can also get that book at Amazon. Amen. They have that in electronic format. Amen. And so as we make our way over to 1 Corinthians, oh, hallelujah, Jesus. 1 Corinthians, the 7th chapter, and then we're also going to go over to Matthew, the 4th chapter and the 8th verse, and I hear the Holy Spirit saying to go to Matthew first, hallelujah. How many of us know that everything we do in life has to be done by the leading of God?
Oh, Bashakasana, Matthew 4:8 goes to read. It says, again, the devil taketh him up unto an exceedingly high mountain. Somebody say high mountain on today. And showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. Have you ever been in a time where it seems as though you've seen all the glory of everything else that everyone else has that you would like to have a part of? Oh, hallelujah, God. It seems as though everybody else always has the best job, and everybody else always has the best marriage, and everybody else always has the best ministries. Oh, come on and help me, God, on today. God is going somewhere with this word. And the Bible goes to read in the 9th verse, and saith unto him, all these things will I give you. This is Satan speaking to God. He said, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. And Jesus responded to him and said, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Have you ever been in a time in your life when it seems as though the enemy was standing at your front door, and you needed to tell the enemy to get behind you, and the enemy should not tempt you? The Bible goes on to say, the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. God wants to speak to you today about temptation. What is this high mountain that the enemy took Jesus up on? The Bible goes on to read as we go to 1 Corinthians. The Bible goes on to say in the 7th chapter, starting at the 3rd verse, let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. Benevolence is a form of worship and intimacy that a man and a wife have together. And God is saying on a day, don't, hallelujah, God, allow the enemy to stop you from having your due benevolence with God. Many don't allow the enemy to have, oh, Bashata, son of God, to take away your form of intimacy and relationship and talking and communicating with God. The Bible goes on to say and read, the wife has no power over her body, but the husband, and likewise also the husband, have not power over his own body, but the wife. That means that the two are made for each other. You and God are made for each other. It says, defraud ye not the one another, except it be consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer. You know, isn't it interesting that the Bible talks about fasting and prayer when you're not with your spouse? Isn't it interesting that God said that only these come out through fasting and prayer? How is it interesting that God calls us to a place of fasting and prayer, hallelujah, God, Jesus, when we're faced up with mountains of affliction, when the enemy takes us up on certain mountains to tempt us? The Bible goes on to say, defraud ye not the other, except it be for a time to give yourself to prayer and fasting, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency, that Satan tempt you not. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. If God were to minister to you on a day about temptations, what are temptations on a day? The Bible said that the enemy took Jesus up on a high mountain and began to tempt him. But God said in his word that you shall not tempt the Lord, your God. What is it about temptations? Temptations are things that we're faced with in life that try to get us off of the track of Jesus Christ. You know, the enemy tried to get Jesus off the track of his job. The enemy tried to get Jesus off the track from dying for the sins of the world. And God sent me by to let you know today that God pulls you out of darkness. Yes, my God, Jesus. God never tempts a man, the Bible declares. For God is full of all fruit and righteousness. God is full of all light and love and joy. So how is it that the world can make us think that we're tempted through, oh, Bashata, son of God, Jesus Christ himself? himself, when all temptation is of the flesh and temptation comes from the enemy himself. The reason why the enemy looks to tempt you is because he has a desire for you to get off course. But I know a man named Paul that said he kept the faith. He ran the race and he kept the course. And in your Christian life, you gotta stay focused. You gotta stay with the things of God. Oh, help me, God. Oh, Jesus. God is saying on a day, do not allow temptations and the lust thereof to get into your walk with Jesus. For we find here in the Bible that the woman is supposed to render unto the husband all the things that are due to him. And God is saying on a day that you ought to render all the things that are due to me. Oh, come on and help me, God, on a day. Your people are going through hell and high water. But God said, if my people would concentrate on me, if my people who were called by my name would humble themselves and pray, then he'll heal the land. If God said it, oh, you best believe it can happen. Oh, another thing God does is he opens the blinded eye. See, you don't have to be tempted by the enemy because God sent me by to open the eye of you so that you have understanding. How else can you understand unless the preacher be sent? Oh, the blinded eyes of a man. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. We find here that the enemy tried to tempt Jesus to get him to fall off of the course that he was on. But God said, prepare me a body, for I'm going down to see what's going on with my people. See, the law couldn't do it. And God was tired of the sacrifices. It got to a point inside of the ministry where the people were bringing sacrifices to God, but the sacrifices were being left there. You've got to leave all your heart at the altar, and the sacrifices were being left there, but the heart of the people was not going out with the sacrifice. See, it's something to leave the sacrifice there with God, but it's another thing to leave the heart with God. Oh, help me, God, on a day. You know, people are going through all type of things God is saying on a day. People are going through foreclosures on a day. People are going through mind disease on a day. But God is saying in all of it, even on the mountain you may be on, every mountain of affliction, every mountain of heartache, every mountain of lonely ache, every mountain, it's all right to be on top of the mountain because the enemy took Jesus on the mountain, but something happened in that mountain. Oh, move, Holy Ghost. Something is happening in the mountain that you're in. Oh, the mountain of weariness. See, what you gotta understand is that every time God took a man to the mountain, he always spoke a word to them at the mountain. For he took over Father God, Moses to the mountain, and he said to Moses, oh, get from down this place, and we're going to a mountain. See, when Moses went to his mountain to meet the glory of God, all everybody else couldn't go. When Moses was at the top of his mountain, and God spoke to him and gave him the Ten Commandments, it was a place and time where Moses had to be at that mountain and talk to God, and God had to let Moses know, although you're suffering with these bull-headed people, and these people don't want to seem to listen, I know you may be weary, Moses. I know you may be going through, Moses. I know they may be as stubborn as a bull, but get up to that mountain. I know you're going through affliction, but get up to that mountain, because see, there's some things that I got to show to you inside of the mountain. I got to show you my law, and God is saying on a day, although you're at that mountain, there's some things that he has to show you on a day inside of that mountain, every affliction of the mountain. But God does not tempt us in the mountain. God helps us in the mountain. And the Bible goes to say, oh, help me, God, Jesus, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be cast into to the sea. It has to obey. As long as you have the faith of a mustard seed, you can speak to that mountain and say, be ye removed. You can speak to that mountain, whatever you're going through on today, whatever is troubling you on today, whatever is in your mind on today, you can speak to that mountain and say, get thee behind me. You shall worship God and God alone. For God is looking for somebody to worship him in spirit and in truth. For we find God that he is all true, that he is all knowing, that he is all understanding. You got to tell that mountain to be ye removed. Oh, Bashaka, son of God. Jesus often went to the mountain and he did a lot of things. Oh, help me God on a day. Whosoever shall say to their mountain to be cast into the sea. Oh, hallelujah, God. For the Bible declares that every valley shall be filled and every mountain and hill shall be brought low. Oh, come on, help me God. And every crooked path shall be made straight. Oh, hallelujah, God. Every mountain you're faced with, every affliction you're going through, it shall be made straight. That means that eventually that mountain you're going through has to get into an order and alignment with God. Oh, hallelujah, God. The Bible said that Jesus often went to a mountain and went there and prayed. Oh, help me, God. The Bible said that after Jesus was tempted, he went into the mountain and the angels ministered to him there. You know, God is saying, even though you're in a mountain of affliction and all type of temptation going around you, you know, folk want to get you to a place where you're ready. Oh, I shall talk. Son of God, I think it's all right to say it, to put somebody under the ground. Folk always try to get you to a place to knock you off your squirrel, is what they call it. Folk always try to get you to a place where they want to make you lose your religion. But we serve a God, help me, Holy Ghost. I say we serve a God that can do all things for us. We can make it. I say you can make it inside of that mountain, whatever mountain you're going through. Jesus had his mountain, and he resorted to a place. He backed up, and he went into the mountain. And the Bible said he often prayed. He prayed inside of that mountain. And we come to the place of all the Bible said, and Jesus departed and went and came into the Sea of Galilee. And the Bible said he went up to that mountain and he sat there, and a great multitude came to him, having them that were lame, blind, oh, help me, God, dumb. And the Bible said some of them were maimed. Have you ever felt as though you were maimed? Maimed means that you're all busted up, all beat up, all knocked up. You're down on your knuckles. You're down on your knees. Seem like somebody took their foot and stood it in the middle of your back while you're down on your knees. Maimed means to be all cut up, not understanding what's even going on in the world. Have you ever got to a point in life where you really didn't care what was going on in the news because you had your own story? You had your own issue. You had your own story to tell, and your story was just like the news. Here's 6 o'clock news. We come to you with the story of a man's life, or a man that can't find a job, or a man that can't get healing, or a man that's been hurt and busted. Oh, yes, God, Jesus. So you got one news in the world, and then you got your news in the world, and it seems as though the news of your life always outweighs the news that's going on TV. Oh, help me, God, on a day. We're talking about mountains of affliction. We're talking about where the enemy took God and tried to tempt him. We're talking about where the enemy takes you and tries to get you to black out, to knock out, to give up, to break loose, to throw it all away. But God sent me by to let you know today. God sent the preacher by to let you know today that you don't have to give up. You don't have to mind with Jesus Christ. You ought to get up and praise God right now. I know you out there in listening land. You might be sitting on your couch. You might be in the kitchen. But you ought to praise God right now. Praise God. God said praise him in the midst of your circumstance. And we find that Jesus went down to the Sea of Galilee. And he healed the blind. He healed the lame. He healed them all. And they fell down at Jesus' feet. But what you got to understand is that before God went into his ministry, before he was sent out to heal the people, that he had to be tempted of the enemy. I told you earlier that God tempts no man, but Satan had to tempt God to get him to turn back. And Satan has got to tempt you to get you to knock yourself off. But God said, let's follow the yellow brick road, for there is reward inside of him. And the Bible goes to say, the dumb spake, and the lame were made whole, the lame walk, and the blinded eyes saw. And the Bible said in Matthew 5:1, that Jesus seen the multitude. He went up into a mountain, and he was set there. His disciples came to see him. Oh, I shall catch son. It's something about these mountains. Oh, my God, Jesus. The Bible said that Elijah once faced the mountain when he was running from Jezebel. He went and he sat up against that rock. I can imagine Elijah putting his back up against the rock. Feeling all sorry for herself, sulking in self-pity. But I heard the voice of God say, after he went inside of the mountain, the Bible said that the mountain began to crumble, and in it you found no God. And then the wind came, and there was an earthquake in the mountain, and still yet you found no God. And then a still small voice spoke to Elijah and said, Elijah, what are you doing? Oh, come on and help me, God. And God is saying on today, man of God out there, woman of God out there, what are you doing inside of the mountain? I know everybody has come to blow your house down. Like the wolf came, he huffed and he puffed. But God is saying on today that no wolf can come and blow your house down. Oh, yes, they're inwardly as a wolf, ferocious on the inside. But God said, never mind your enemies and your foes, for if I be with you, who can be against you? I feel all right, y'all. Even though we're in the middle of the mountain, we know God is able to turn the tide, to settle the score. God said that when the enemy comes in like a flood, that the Spirit of God will be there to lift up a standard against the enemy. You ought to get happy right there. You ought to leap for joy right there. Oh, we serve a God. Oh, hallelujah, God. Do you know, hallelujah, Jesus, that this is why, oh, my shakak, son of God, everything we go through in life seems to always be a financial collapse. Oh, yes, men and women of God out there, we all have our trials and tribulations, but it seems as though finances seem to plague the most of us. But I'm reminded of a story where God turned the money that they needed all out of the mouth of a fish. And God is saying on a day, he can take the weakest things of the world. We wouldn't even think that a fish was something that strong. And he can turn it into what you need on a day. See, this is why God exists, so that he can make those that think they're very smart and they know everything. The Bible says that he can make those people look around and say, what? How did that happen? How did that woman get out of that thing? How did that man get out of that thing? God comes to the Sir Isaac Newtons of the world today that think they have it all figured out. They think they have government figured out. They think they have society figured out. But we serve a God that turns the wise mind into shame. And the Bible said that after Jesus came from this mountain, pouring with the enemy, warring with the enemy, oh, come on, God. Oh, God said, well, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, and you ought to worship the true and living God. You will worship the true and living God. And the Bible said that Jesus knew his calling. Jesus knew where God was taking him. Jesus knew the work and the assignment that he had to do. And he wasn't going to let any Satan, any enemy get in his way. And you ought to know the assignment that God has on your life. You ought to know the destiny. You ought to know the purpose. And if you don't know it, you got to get in a prayer while in that mountain. Oh, Bashatakan God. And the Bible said, in Matthew 5:1, and seeing the multitude, he went into a mountain, and he was set there, and the disciples came to him, and the disciples said, as he opened his mouth to teach them, the disciples said, and he said to the disciples, inside of this mountain, see, this is interesting to know, that God said all these things about being blessed while inside of the mountain. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. I said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. God said, you're blessed and highly favored. God said, you're blessed in the city, and you're blessed in the field. See, no matter how much the enemy tries to make you think that you are not blessed and you don't have God working on your behalf, the devil is a liar because God is always on the back end working it out. And we find this, oh, my son of God, when God sent the children and God sent the disciples over into the water. He said, go ye yonder into the water. Oh, my God, Jesus, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God, but hold on to the water. God has got a special message inside of the water. When God sent the disciples by and told them to go ahead of him, because, see, he was going back to the mountain where he could pray and fast. Oh, by Shatasana, he said, go up a yonder. The Bible said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You ought to tell yourself, I'm blessed and highly favored. You ought to tell yourself, I'm blessed in the city, and I'm blessed in the field. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you. For the name of God, you ought to say, I'm still blessed. When folk talk about me like a dog, when folk dog out my name, when folk criticize me, I'm still blessed for the name of Jesus. When folk talk about me and lie on me, tell all the type of lies on me to get me in trouble and get me fired from my job. When folk tell all type of lies on me and try to get the government involved in my case. Oh, yes, we all got a case, a child support case, a child protective service case, a welfare case. Everything is about a case. I told you your story was better than the 6 p.m. news. If they want to watch the news, just go to the story. And the Bible said that you're still blessed even though they persecute you, even though they slap you in your face. See, what you got to understand is that Jesus had a crown of thorns laying on in his head. Jesus was wrapped in a coat of mockery. They say you call yourself a king, but God said, I'm still blessed and I'm highly favored, because you'll find out in 3 days I'll tear this kingdom down. You won't find out in 3 days I'm going to come through the temple and I'm going to annihilate everything. Death and hell can't hate. me. Oh, come on, somebody. God said you're blessed. God told me to let you know today that you're still blessed. I don't care what mountain of affliction you may be going through. You're still blessed. You're blessed because Jesus is blessed. You're blessed because he conquered it all. You're blessed because he has all the answers. And you're blessed because he sits high in a high place. Oh, come on, God. I'm closing on you. Oh, don't miss your room of opportunity. Don't miss the window that's open for you to know that you're blessed, for you to have hope inside of that situation. And the Bible said that there was a certain man kneeling down to God, and he said, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sorely vexed. Oftentimes he falleth in the fire. Are you still holding on to the water? Because God got a revelation behind that water when he told the people to go up ahead. I'm going to stay back at this mountain, and I'm going to have a talk with Jesus. I'm going to have a talk with God. I'm going to have a talk with the Holy Ghost. Oh, when the Bible said, my son is a lunatic, grievously vexed with a demon. He often falls in the fire and into the water. And I brought him to the disciples, and they couldn't seem to cure him. The Bible said, Jesus answered and said, oh, faithless and faithless. And God said, faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? See, there are some things that God wants you to be able to do on your own. That means tell the enemy to get behind you, to cast that demon out. This man came to Jesus, and he said, help my son, he's grievously vexed. And the others that you sent to me, they couldn't do the job. Now I need you to intervene. And God is saying on a day that I'm here to intervene, but you got to let me know your problem. You got to let me know your affliction. See, God is saying that I went to my mountain. This is a prophetic word. God is saying I went to my own mountain, and I saw what my mountain had to offer, and I met the enemy there, and I told the enemy to get behind me. And Moses went to his own mountain, and he met the affliction of the people, but he told God to help these people. And God is saying on a day, he sent me by to let you know that God is saying on a day that you got to call it out. You got to spell it out. Even if you got to exit out, you got to do something about it. You got to open up your mouth and speak the oracles of God. You got to open up your mouth and you got to tell the enemy, if God be for me, who can be against me? You got to let the devil know that there are more with me than there are with you. And you got to let the enemy know that no weapon formed against you will prosper. God is saying to let the enemy know all that he needs to know, that he has to get behind you, for you serve a God that is able. God is saying to speak the things of him, and he'll show up. He'll show up and he'll move that mountain out of your way. See, what you got to understand, when the disciples couldn't do it, God said, oh, ye of faithlessness, oh, ye of a perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? See, God sent us something and he left us something on the earth that gives us all the power to get rid of the works of the enemy inside of our lives, inside of that mountain, inside of temptation, inside of getting you to lose all that you have, meaning your sanity and your mind. And the Bible said, how long shall I suffer you? And the Bible said, because of your unbelief, and verily I say unto you, if you have faith of the grain of a mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, oh, thou shalt pass, Son of God, and I told you to hold on to the water, because now that you move that mountain out of the way, now you got to see how Jesus shows up to help your situation. Now you got to see how Jesus shows up to cast the enemy out. And the Bible said that the men were toiling. They were toiling with that water inside of the ship. When Jesus said, I'm going to stay behind at this mountain, and I'm going to have a talk with Jesus. But you go, I'm going to have a talk with God, but you go ahead. they were toiling. They were toiling with the water. They were toiling with the boat. Have you ever seen the wrestle with that situation? Have you ever seen they'll almost be down for the count, and you're striving and you're pulling up, and you're saying, if I could just get a deep breath, if I could just get my head above the water, if I could just hold on a little bit longer, if I could just hold on and endure for the night, if I could just make it a little bit stronger. See, you gotta be like double men. Double men knew what to do. Double men knew how to make it double and hold on. This is what God wants you to do. Hold on. Even though weeping may endure for a night, you gotta hold on, because your joy is coming in the morning. And they were toiling with that water. They were wrestling with that boat. For the Bible said that the winds were contrary to one another. Have you ever been in a point in your life where it seems as everything is contrary to one another? You gotta rob Peter to pay Paul. Have you ever been in a point in your life where it seems as though every time you go, you already always get a flat tire. You run out of oxygen. And the disciples, they were toiling with the water. They were toiling with the ship. But the Bible said that all of a sudden, they looked out on the sea, and they saw a man walking. You ought to look out on the sea and see Jesus walking, walking up on your situation, walking up on the water, walking up on all the things that plague you in your life, all the things you're faced with, mental breakdown, health in your body, sickness in your body, and the Bible said, that the men, they looked off yonder, and they looked off far, and they saw Jesus walking up to them, and the Bible said that they thought it was a spirit, and they got afraid. How is it that people can get more afraid of the walking of Jesus than they can of the toiling inside of the ship? But the Bible said that they looked up on the water, and they saw Jesus walking up on them. And Jesus said to them, be of good courage. And that's the word on the day to you, that God is telling you through the story of the water, walking on the water, is to be of good courage. I know you're in the temptation. I know you're in the trial of your life. I know you're faced with the enemy in your mountain of affliction. But be of good courage. God will strengthen you in due season. If you faint not, you'll reap. God said in his word, I know you're going through the middle of the darkest, loneliest night, but if you would hold on and be of good courage, to be of good courage means to be encouraged. The Bible said that David encouraged himself in the Lord. That means you got to speak to your situation and say, you will not steal my praise. You got to speak to your situation and say, you will not steal my joy. You got to speak to your situation and say, you will not steal the joy in my heart. You got to speak to that thing, that mountain of affliction. And God said to let you know to be of good courage and be of good strength. You know, God told Joshua three times to be of good courage, to be of good courage. I know you're not going down into that land, and the enemy is in all in the land. But I prophesy to you to go down and possess the land. God already said it to Joshua. The land is yours, full with milk and honey. And God is saying to you on today to be of good courage, because the land is yours. The kingdom is yours. God said you're a priest and a king. And if you're a king, you have a kingdom. God said to go into the land and be of good courage. You ought to have your next week of good courage, because you got to double shot of courage on the day, to have your spirits up, to put on a garment of praise. If you were heavy, you're heavy no more. I speak it to you in the spirit realm. If you were heavy, you're heavy no more. I speak to your spirit, and I tell your spirit to be of good courage and get in alignment with God in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, God. We just magnify God on today. We glorify God on today. We thank God on today. Oh, Bashakasana, now is the time to give your heart to Christ. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, and you're in that mountain of affliction, and you can't seem to find your way out, I just see people that are blinded in mountains. God, just show me a vision of people walking and bumping into each other like this because they are not, hallelujah, God, have, because they don't have open eyes inside of the mountain. See, this is why the Christian is able to endure the days of struggle, because their eyes are open. God said that I came to undo blinded eyes. Hallelujah, God. And God wants you in a place where you're able to endure that mountain. The enemy is going to come. It doesn't mean that the enemy is not going to come. If the enemy came to Jesus, the enemy is going to come to you. And the enemy is going to create that mountain for you. Hallelujah. But God said, I'm in the mountain with you. He said to tell you again that I'm in that mountain with you. And God said in his word that if any man open up his heart to him, that he will come in and sup with him inside of the mountain, him with God and God with him. And God will be his God. And you will be God's child. And this is how you endure the mountain of your life. If it seems as though you're going through so much in life, but you can't seem to really truly get a break, this is why, because you're in the mountain by yourself. If it seems as though, excuse me, you've known the things of God, but you got away from God, and you're suffering inside of that mountain. You know, a mountain is like a cave. A cave is something that's covered up. There's not really an opening. And inside those mountains, there are not openings at all. All there is darkness. All there is loneliness. But God is inside of the mountain waiting for you. God was inside of Daniel's den. You know, Daniel's den was a place, it was a mountain, but it was under the ground. And it was dark in there, and there were lions in there that looked to chew and tear Daniel apart. Oh, Bashatasana. And even if someone has thrown you into the mountain like they threw Daniel into the den, oh, Bashatasana, hallelujah, God, Jesus. Jesus is there. And Jesus was there with Daniel inside of that den. And Jesus wants to be there with you also, but you have to invite him in. So now is the time that we invite God into the mountain. You know, a lot of times people say to themselves, well, I got to do this to get God in my mountain, and I got to do that to get God in my mountain. But God is saying, never mind that. Don't look at the state of the man, because God said he takes a man at any state that he's in. But look at the fact that you're in that mountain all alone. Look at the fact that you need some help. You know, God said that he'll help you. He'll be your help, your shield, and your buckler. But you got to invite him into the mountain. Oh, hallelujah, God, Jesus. If I had a party at my house, a party dinner, nobody would show up to the dinner unless I invited them. Amen. This is an invitation only type of thing. Hallelujah, God. And God is inviting you to invite him inside of your mountain. Invite God inside of your heart on a day. Let's do it together. Hallelujah, God, Jesus. If you're suffering in life, hallelujah, and you're a Christian, you're suffering because you're not aligned with the things of God. And the mountain is empty. There's nothing in there. There's nothing there to give you any help. Hallelujah. You're praying to the wrong people. You're calling up your girlfriend and you say, girl, I had this situation. Can you talk to me about it? You're calling up your buddies and saying, man, let's go have a drink. I want to tell you about what happened last night. No, you've got to call up Jesus, because Jesus is the only one that can get down in that cave with you. The Bible says that Moses chose to suffer the afflictions of the people. And this is what God wants to do with you all today. He wants to suffer the afflictions that you're going through, because God is the only one that can take that monkey off of your back. Oh, Bashatasana, a lot of you have monkeys on your back. And you know, a monkey just seems to just hang around your shoulder.